Well, y'all didn't miss out on too much. I did mention the passage, Luke chapter 8, verses 42, the latter part of verses 42 through 48. The title of my message comes from the scriptures. It's entitled, Who Touched Me? Who touched me? That's what Jesus, he asked the question. At some point in the future, I'm going to look at all of the questions that Jesus asked and work up a series of sermons going through all of them. And he asked quite a few questions. Well, let me read verses 42b, the last part of that scripture. There's two sentences in verses 42. I'm looking at the second one. It says, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, and I'm reading from the King James Version. I'm sorry. I know that I had mentioned earlier the NIV, but I discovered that the King James Version included something that the NIV didn't. So let me begin again in verses 42, the last part of it, going on. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Verse 48 is the only place in the Bible where Jesus spoke with such familiarity by saying, Daughter, be of good comfort. It's interesting. The characters in this story are essentially three kinds of characters. The first is the woman. The second is Jesus. And the third is the crowd. It was a big gathering of people. The woman's name, it's alluded to in places and other historical documents. In the Greek, her name would have been Bernice. In the Latin, it would have been Veronica. So we want to think about this woman. This dear woman, she was, in two ways, she was broke financially and she was burdened emotionally. She had spent all of her livelihood on doctors. No offense to a doctor, if there are any here today, but the doctors then could not help her. And so she had absolutely no cure for her problem. And what's interesting to me is that because she was in this kind of condition, she was immediately considered an outcast. In other words, not welcome in the tabernacle. She was a person who was to be ostracized, placed outside of God's people. She was considered untouchable. There are at least six things I want to think about when I consider this woman who was both financially broke and very much so burdened by the fact that she was ostracized and cast out. The first thing I want us to consider is the crowd. The Bible indicates that there was a big crowd there. A lot of people. Some attribute the large crowd due to the lady that had been healed by Jesus. A man, a demoniac, a person filled with the devil. That person, when he had been healed by Jesus, asked if he could follow him with the rest of his followers. Jesus said, "No, I want you to go home and tell everybody what God has done for you." As a result, he did exactly that. He became an evangelist, if you will. He told everyone what God had done in his life. And it was really a wonderful thing. And the people could see it because they knew about him. They knew that he was the man filled with the devil, the man who lived among the tombs. And yet when Jesus cast the devil out, he was healed. And so he had a great deal to do with the large crowd. I am almost certain of that. His conveying to people what Jesus had done for him convinced them that they needed to come and see Jesus for themselves and be around him. This woman had what was called constant bleeding. You might ask, how long? The Bible says, and indicates, for 12 years. She had a serious problem. And she could find no cure. She had spent all of her livelihood on doctors. And again, no offense to a doctor, but they just couldn't help her. They couldn't do what only Jesus could do. And so, here is a lady who could find no cure, no help anywhere, but when she heard about Jesus and heard what he was doing, she made up her mind she was going to go to him. But although she would go as discreetly as possible, she came up behind Jesus, working her way, worming through the big crowd. She would come up behind him and reach out and not physically touch him on his flesh, but touch a piece of his garment. So we discover that as she reached out, Jesus was either had a shawl or what they call a talith draped over his shoulder. And during inclement weather, he would wear that shawl over his head and cover himself. And at night, he would sleep on it. So it served several purposes. So when she came up behind Jesus, she reached out to one of the corners of this shawl. Each corner had some white thread and a blue thread was, they would weave it into that. Each corner had that. This was a sacred sign indicating faithfulness, that the individual wearing it would obey God, pay attention to his word, follow his word, honor his word. And so it was used to cover one, as I've already mentioned, who wore it, and they would sleep on it on occasion. And it was usually carried by draping it over the left shoulder. So the picture is this lady coming up behind Jesus, coming through the crowd. She reached out and she touched one of the corners of this cloth hanging off his shoulder. As she carefully touched the fringe of his robe, a miracle occurred. She was cured immediately. This is wonderful. She reached out to Jesus, not wanting to touch him physically. She tried to be as discreet as she could and simply touched one of the corners of this cloth hanging off his shoulder. At the very moment this happened, the second individual that we're introduced to is Jesus. At the moment she touched the corner of his cloth, Jesus stopped and he asked the question, "Who touched me?" This is in verse 45. In verse 46, Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me." He was not fussing. He was simply making a statement of a fact. She deliberately touched him, his garment. Jesus said he felt healing power go out from him in verse 46. The woman responds in verse 47. She could not stay hidden. She realized that, not from Jesus. And the Bible says she began to tremble. And she fell to her knees in front of Jesus. And at that moment, she confesses that she was the one who touched him. touched his shawl. And she was the one who was immediately healed. That's amazing to me. It's amazing because anybody who reaches out to Jesus will not be disappointed. If you're sitting here this morning and something's going on in your life and you need help, and you don't want to tell anyone, can I encourage you? Tell Jesus. Ask Jesus to help you. He can do that. I know I've already mentioned it before. I think it was last week that when I went through what I went through physically, I was after surgery in a coma for a few months. And the doctor was telling everyone I was going to die. But God didn't agree with him, and he, in fact, touched me with healing and helped me. I know this, and I want to encourage you that Jesus can do anything. Well, she just responded, well, I can't stay hidden. And she began to tremble and fell in front of Jesus, and she confessed that she was the one that touched him, and she immediately was healed. But I want you to understand Jesus responds to this in verse 48. He says an interesting thing that he doesn't say anywhere else in the Bible when Jesus encountered people. He referred to her as daughter. No, it's not really his daughter. He didn't have sexual relations with any of the women. He didn't have that. But he referred to her as his daughter. And he said this to her, your faith has made you well. And then he also says, go in peace. I want to tell you for a fact, God can give us real peace. He really can. Are there any here today that you feel like you don't have peace? I'm going to again direct you to Jesus. He can give you real peace. He can help you where no one else can. Well, Jesus can do this, and I want to encourage you all to turn to Jesus. My message may be short, and that's okay with me, and I'm sure it is with you, but it is important. Turn to Jesus. I pray for all of you. I pray that any who are here today, and if in fact you are not saved and you haven't asked Jesus to save you, I want to encourage you to do something right now. And that is to pray and ask Jesus to save you. I remember in Second Avenue Baptist Church, Laurel, Mississippi, they were having a revival. And the first night when the evangelists extended the invitation, a lot of people went down. I wanted to go to him, but I didn't. So I made up my mind the second night when I went, I was going to go down the front and share that with the preacher. My mother went with me. I don't know why. She went with me. But I went down. I was determined to go and make it public. And I thank the Lord for that. Jesus has been so good to me throughout the years and helped me in so many different ways. And he has shaped my life and guided me and directed me in so many different ways. And I'm not disappointed. I'm very glad. I encourage you this morning. Again, if there's anyone here today and you're not sure if you're saved, I encourage you to come forward and make that thing, make it a fact that you are saved if you've turned to Jesus. There may be some here today and you just want to rededicate your life. Well, folks, it's wonderful dedicating your life to the Lord. He loves us and he cares for us in a special way that no one else can. You come, okay? You come, even now, as our instrumentalist comes and plays, you come.